All right, today is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving, and so we want to be talking about thanking the Lord, praising the Lord. We're going to be working our way through Psalm 146, and it's a really great psalm. Really, the last four or five psalms in the Psalter are very special. They all, each one of them, 146 to 150, begin with praise the Lord, and they end with praise the Lord. And so we want to praise the Lord now because the Lord supports the downtrodden and the afflicted. And at the end of the message, this won't take a half an hour, this will take much less than that, we want to give you the opportunity. And I need some... I'm looking for my young guys. They usually sit up here and they're absent. Where have they gone to? Do we have any young... I see Levi back there. Levi, I want you to be responsible, and Caleb can help you out. And if you want to recruit one other person, maybe Josh. Is that Josh over there? I'm not seeing Josh's face. When I'm through preaching, I want you guys to come up here and be my mic runners. So, where's Jeremy? Is Jeremy here? He was. Well, when Jeremy comes back, tell him we're going to need some mics back there, okay? All right, let's look at in our Bibles at Psalm 146. Praise the Lord because the Lord supports the downtrodden and the afflicted. Some introductory thoughts. First of all, the book of Psalms is Israel's hymnal. It always has been and remains that today. Somehow they knew the tunes. We don't have a clue what the tunes are supposed to be, but they knew the tunes. Songs are meant to be sung. That's kind of self-evident, isn't it? So praising God together in song is an indispensable act of corporate worship. It's biblical to sing praises to God. And singing is an effective way. In fact, there's one time I know that God actually commanded Moses to write a song. And you'll find it in the closing chapters of the book of Deuteronomy. Because songs help you remember things. So I've had some exposure to some Presbyterians, and they had psalms put to music. I'm sure it wasn't the music that the Jewish people did, but it would be good if we would put psalms to music. Not just one or two verses, but a whole psalm. But anyway, that's something for another day, I'm sure. We do not know who wrote Psalm 146, and we do not know why it was written. Some psalms have a superscription, which means that you're told who wrote it, like it's a psalm of David, and sometimes it will tell you why he wrote it. But this psalm has neither one, so we don't know who wrote it or why it was written. We do know that it begins and ends with praise the Lord, and in Hebrew that is hallelujah. And the great hallel or praise psalms are from 146 to 150. And each one of those, as I said, begins and ends with the words hallelujah, or sometimes we say alleluia, but for the Hebrews it was hallelujah, and Yah is the name of God. All right, let us praise the Lord, Psalm 146. Here are the three main points. There's an opening call to praise the Lord in verses 1 to 2. Actually, the opening call is verse 1, and then verse 2 is a vow. The psalmist vows to praise. I will praise. And then the main bulk of it is verses 3 to 9, the value of relying upon God, not man. And then there's a closing call to praise the Lord, which echoes verse 1, praise the Lord. Let's look, first of all, at the opening call to praise the Lord, verses 1 and 2. The call to praise is a call to corporate praise. That means we're supposed to praise the Lord together. Praise the Lord is a corporate thing. It's a plural verb. It's an imperative. We are commanded to praise the Lord. So praise the Lord is how it's translated. In Hebrew, it's hallelujah, meaning let us praise Yah. And I'll stick the last part of that the second syllable on there because Yah is an abbreviation for Yahweh. And here's a Texas translation, okay? Y'all praise Yah. Okay, that's how, I mean, and it's a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Y'all praise Yahweh. We're going to do that when we're through here, okay? Then the rest of it is personal praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is singular now. This is something I need to do. Corporately, we need to praise the Lord, but individually, each of us needs to praise the Lord also. So here's an application from that. First of all, I must join with other believers in corporately praising the Lord. That is important, and that honors God when we join corporately together and praise the Lord. And I must praise the Lord when I'm by myself. I need to be praising the Lord. It's a corporate responsibility and an individual responsibility. Now, in verse 2, the psalmist, we call him the psalmist because we don't know his name, he gives a vow to praise. First of all, while I live, I will praise the Lord while I live. That kind of means that all your life you're going to be praising the Lord. And the psalmist was vowing to praise the Lord as long as he lived. You and I ought to vow to do the same thing. I promise to praise the Lord as long as I live. While I exist, I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Say, well, that's saying about the same thing, isn't it? Yes, and that's what Hebrew poetry is. It oftentimes, the second line says the same thing as the first line, but it says it in a different way. That's their idea of poetry. I think it's pretty cool. Sometimes the second line will be the opposite of the first line. Sometimes it will add stuff onto the first line, but poetry is a rhyming of ideas, not sounds. I will praise the Lord while I live, and I'll praise Him while I exist. Here's an application that comes out of that. If I am breathing, I need to be praising the Lord. If I'm alive, I must praise the Lord. If I'm breathing, then I have breath to praise the Lord. We never run out of that obligation. Now we go to the main part of this psalm, verses 3 to 9. It's the value of relying upon God, not man. Okay, we talk about the futility of relying upon man, and the first part is interesting. Do not trust in government leaders. That's particularly interesting since we've just had an election, and we're tempted to trust our leaders, but the psalmist says, do not trust in princes. But we have presidents, and we have governors, and we have representatives and senators. We don't have royalty, but we do have government leaders. There's a reason why we're not to trust in them, because they are, first of all, mortal. They are mortal. Do not trust in princes, in mortal man. And first, secondly, they are helpless, in whom there is no salvation. There's no salvation. I was thinking this morning, sometimes the strangest things happen. You're getting ready to preach a message, and something you do every day of your life sticks out to you. I was putting on some deodorant this morning. Now, that's not unusual, but I just happened to notice on my deodorant stick, it says it offers 24-hour protection. So my mind, thinking about this sermon, began to race. So what's this thing going to protect me from? Is it going to protect me from a heart attack? My brother had one about a week ago. Will it protect me? I don't think so. Will it protect me from, and by the way, my brother's doing better, and he's sounding stronger. So grateful for that. He just needs prayer that he can get back to work as quickly as possible. Will this deodorant protect me from a car accident? I don't think so. Will it protect me from a deadly illness? I don't think so. There is no salvation in deodorant. I don't know what claims it. It offers me 24-hour protection, but it's not going to save me. It might save me from malodorous embarrassment, but that's not saying a whole lot, is it? So princes cannot save you. Government leaders cannot save you. So let's make some applications, some specific applications here. Do not put your trust in your president. Why? Well, because he's going to die. He's mortal, and he is helpless to save you. Do not put your trust in your Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. Why? Well, because he's going to die, and he is helpless to save you. Do not put your trust in your House Majority Leader, John Boehner. Why? You might guess it's because he's going to die, and he's helpless to save you. Do not put your trust in your governor, Sam Brownback. Why? Same thing. He's going to die, and he's helpless to save you. Well, the psalmist goes on to talk about the futility of relying upon man, and he describes man's mortality. His departing spirit. His spirit departs. He returns to the earth. And this is talking specifically about not relying upon government leaders. One day that man's spirit will depart from him, and his body will return to the earth. His intellect will be stilled. In that very day, his thoughts perish. Whenever a leader dies, his agenda is stopped instantly. Instantly. There's no more there. One day, early in the morning, I got a phone call in my previous church from an elderly woman whose husband had just been taken by ambulance to another city. And she wanted me to go with her. So I dressed and hopped in my car, drove at nighttime to this nearby town. It took me half an hour to get there. And she wanted to take her vehicle, but she wanted me to drive. And so as we drove along, she told me what had been happening. And she was very matter-of-fact. She's a godly Christian woman. When we finally got to the hospital, we found where he was, and there he was in intensive care, and he was on life support. And we sat there a while, but after a period of time, we looked at the monitor that monitored his brain waves. And after a period of time, those brain waves just went flat. There was nothing there. When the brain waves flatline, that person is no longer in that body. It's time to turn off the respirator because he's not coming back. It's time to begin making funeral arrangements. In that very day, his thoughts perish. His intellect is stilled, and he can't help you. Mortal people can't really provide you with salvation. They can't really help you. Now, I thought it would be instructive to look at some presidents who served in my lifetime. I'm 65 and have died already. Harry S. Truman was alive when I was born, but he was our 33rd president, but he died in 1972. Dwight D. Eisenhower, I remember him more. I don't really remember anything about Harry Truman, but I remember Button saying, "I like Ike." Dwight D. Eisenhower. He was our 34th president. He died in 1969. John F. Kennedy. Many of you remember him. I remember the day he was assassinated. And I was in Breen Academy. I think it was my junior year. And we all filed in the chapel and had a chapel service there. He was a 35th president. He was assassinated in 1963. Lyndon Baines Johnson. He was our 36th president. He died in 1973. Richard Milhouse Nixon was our 37th president. He died in 1994. Gerald R. Ford, who filled out the unexpired term of President Nixon, was our 38th president. He died in 2006. Ronald Wilson Reagan was our 40th president, and he died in 1994. Who'll be the next president who dies? We don't know. But we know that they will all die. They are mortal. They cannot save you. Don't trust in princes. Now, instead of relying upon men of power, government leaders, we need to be relying on the Lord. And the next verses, verses 5 to 9, discuss the blessings of relying upon the Lord God. And by the way, if you see Lord in caps in your English, most English translations, that's the name Yahweh. Some versions would translate it Jehovah. And the word God with capital G and small O-D, that's usually the word Elohim, which is sort of a generic name for God. The statement of blessing is in verse 5. There are blessings that come from the help of Jacob's God. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob? And there are blessings from hoping in the Lord, in Yahweh, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. So you'll be blessed. You'll be happy and blessed if you trust in God, and he will never let you down. Why should we rely upon him? Because he's a great God and he's a faithful God. First of all, he's creator of all. He is creator of heaven and earth. Verse 6, who made heaven and earth. Now that God can save you. A mere president can't save you, but this God can save you. He made heaven and earth. He made the sea and its contents, the sea and all that is in them. And he is eternally faithful. He keeps faith forever. What a great God we have. Now, here's where we really find out what God is like. He has compassion for the afflicted and the downtrodden. Kind of like what Alan and Carol were speaking about this morning. First of all, he provides justice for the oppressed. Verse 7, who executes justice for the oppressed. This is why we should praise our God. Secondly, he provides food for the hungry. Who gives food to the hungry? Third, he provides freedom for prisoners. The Lord sets the prisoners free. And I'm thinking, by the way, back on giving food to the hungry, remember, Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So there are people who are spiritually hungry, and God provides food for them. And the Lord sets the prisoners free. There are many people who are enslaved to sin. So he sets literal prisoners free, but he sets free people who are enslaved to sin. That's what he's on about. He provides sight for the blind. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. And remember, in chapter 9 of John, all of chapter 9 of John is given to Jesus restoring sight to the blind. But chapter 8, you know what Jesus says? He says, I am the light of the world. He who comes to me will not walk in darkness. So it's not just physical sight, but spiritual sight that we need. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Elevation for those bowed down. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. Love for the righteous. The Lord loves the righteous. Increasingly, our society here in America does not love the righteous. They despise the righteous. But the Lord loves the righteous. Protection for the aliens. The Lord protects the strangers. Support for the bereaved. He supports the fatherless and the widow. He provides obstacles for the wicked. He thwarts the way of the wicked. Well, we could spend a lot of time on each one of those, but we continue on to the last verse, the closing call to praise the Lord. Reason for praise, first of all, the eternal reign of Yahweh. The Lord will reign forever. Princes, presidents, rulers last a mere lifetime, but the Lord will reign forever. And the reason for praise is the unending influence of Zion's God. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. By the way, God is the world's greatest Zionist. It's not a bad word for God. The call to corporate praise, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us praise Yahweh. Or in Texas, y'all praise Yahweh. What do we learn from Psalm 146? We learn this. We should praise the Lord because He supports those who are downtrodden and those who are afflicted. We should praise the Lord because He supports those who are downtrodden and afflicted. Let us close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You will bless each of us. Help us to be people of praise, and help us to praise You corporately and to praise You individually. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.